Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Times are tough for hog producers in South Dakota, and this weekend, things got worse. Smithfield Foods, based in Virginia, announced it is halting production at this pork processing plant in Sioux Falls. The plant is closed until further notice. That announcement came over the weekend after Governor Kristi Noem and Mayor Paul Tenhaken called for the closure of the Sioux Falls facility for 14 days. The plant's employees, around 37,000 employees, and that area has become a cluster of COVID-19 infections. The South Dakota Department of Health reports that 293 of the 730 positive cases in the state are Smithfield employees, and that number jumped by 10 more cases today. Now, Smithfield has sounded the alarm for what the plant closure might do to the nation's protein supply chain. It also has a devastating impact on South Dakota producers. Joining us today with insight, we have Shane Odegaard of Odegaard Family Farms and Jim Petrick from the Gayville, South Dakota area, another producer. Shane, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori.
Jim, thanks for being here as well.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
Shane, I want to start with you. Tell us a little bit about your operation first.
My family operates a diversified farming operation up here by Lake Preston, South Dakota. We have 700 sows farrow to finish, and then we also raise a few cows, and then we raise corn and soybeans that are turned used for feed for our hog operation.
And Jim, tell us a little bit about your operation, please.
Yeah, we also operate a diversified farming operation, and we've got kind of two segments to our pork business. We've got one farm where we produce some genetics and some high-end market hogs for the restaurant and export trade, and then our other farm, we bring in weanling pigs and finish them out to market weight.
All right, let's talk about this weekend, but before that, let's go back a little bit, because with the trade war and other things happening in the world, times were already kind of tough. Jim, tell us a little bit about how things were set up, and then let's walk into what's been happening over the past few weeks.
Yeah, Lori, there's been some real challenges in the industry. I mean, on our kind of specialized farm here with our high-end pigs, obviously the restaurant trade has been greatly diminished, and so our producers that we work with in that segment of the business have been struggling for a period of time here already, trying to figure out, where's all the pork going to go? Are we going to be able to get all the market hogs harvested and so on and so forth? But now it's really turned, it's really wrapped its arms around the entire industry now with this Smithfield deal. This morning, in fact, we ended up taking market hogs to Madison, Nebraska, because they were scheduled to go to Smithfield on Friday night last week. And so what's going to happen from here, who knows? But the industry, we've always been very efficient, and we've done that by keeping our barns full and keeping the packing plants full. There's just not another outlet. There's just not another plant out there that's going to be able to take up the slack if the Smithfield plant's shut down very long. So it could be pretty devastating for producers.
Jim, for people outside the industry, one of the questions that needs to be answered is why is it urgent to get them to market right away? Why can't they wait? So explain to us a little bit about how that works in hogs.
You bet. Like for people like Shane and myself, if we breed a swine female, she's going to be pregnant for about 114 days. And then when those piglets are born, in about 5.5 months, they're going to be ready to go to market. And so if Smithfield is going to be shut down this week, we really needed to know 9 or 10 months ago, and so we could plan accordingly, because the pipeline is full of these pigs, and pigs gain, they eat feed, they grow every day. And once they reach their ideal market weight, their value diminishes, if they get too heavy. So if we have to go 2 weeks without marketing hogs, they may weigh 340 pounds instead of 295 pounds, and consequently, the processors aren't going to want to buy them very bad because they're outside of their ideal market weight,
Shane, tell us a little bit about how this is affecting folks. What needs to be added to what Jim is explaining here?
Well, I guess, like Jim said, the pork production in our facilities today are designed on a continuous flow basis. And so for every pig that goes to market, there's one being born. And so with this hiccup, with me not being able to market pigs, I got a barn right now that's got roughly 900 head in it that need to go to market, that are at market weight. And I also got pigs that are born that will need that barn for a home here in 2 weeks or less. And so if any hiccup in the flow, I am running up against a problem right now that I don't know what to do with these pigs. I mean, if I can't sell them, we're going to have to make some really, really hard decisions here on the farm.
What are the options?
It's really
a double-edged
sword, Lori. This is Jim again, but it's really a double-edged sword because consumers are going to feel it from the standpoint of less product being available in the supermarkets, but for the producers, it's even going to be more challenging because, like Shane said, at some point in time, you know, I hope we don't get to that fork in the road, but maybe at some point in time, you know, we'll have to euthanize baby pigs or something just because there won't be a barn to put them in that's available or something, you know?
Right. That was my question. I mean, you really have very, very few options, and none of them are appealing at all for the producers or for anybody. Tell me a little bit about is there a best case scenario if Smithfield closed for 14 days and then went back into operation, if they turned things around more quickly than anticipated? There's still problems there. Is there a best case scenario, Shane?
Well, you know, the Sioux Falls plant harvests roughly 19,000 pigs a day. And that equates to 18 million servings of pork that go to feed the people of this country or the world. And, you know, and those pigs are, you know, the ones that are being displaced now with this 2 week shutdown, you know, we're at 14, if it closes for 14 days, there's 250,000 pigs that could not be harvested for food. So, and we've already got the pigs in the flow on the line in our barns here to meet the market, to be marketed in 2 weeks from now. So what do we do with those pigs that are supposed to have been going now that we can't really hang on to them for 2 weeks? And like Jim says, you know, that to be above the ideal market weight, and we won't even have a home for them. And so, yeah, I mean, the worst case scenario is you know, we have to euthanize them. And right now, after being on the phone this morning, I'm afraid that's starting to look like our only option at the moment.
Hmm. Are South Dakota farmers hit harder than, I mean, where does Smithfield pull from? Is it regional, or do they come from further away? Are South Dakota farmers taking it the worst?
Well, the Morales plant, Smithfield plant in Sioux Falls, sources their pigs from basically majority come from a three-state area. About 45% come from western southwest Minnesota, 35% come from South Dakota. The remainder would come from Iowa, Nebraska, and North Dakota. It's affecting more than just the South Dakota pig farmers. It is affecting everybody within a four-hour driving distance of the Sioux Falls facility.
Jim, do you think Smithfield did everything they...
Go ahead. Yeah, best case scenario is that, you know, maybe a small percentage of these pigs will be able to be harvested at other plants, but it's not going to... These plants are already running at high capacity, and we as producers are producing at full capacity, and so, you know, hopefully a fraction of these pigs will be able to be harvested elsewhere. But, you know, once Smithfield and Sioux Falls gets open back up, I would anticipate they will have to be probably pulling a Saturday shift and maybe even a Sunday shift to make up for the bulge that's in the pipeline right now. But, we're kind of in uncharted water here. Nobody really knows, but, we'll try to remain optimistic that we'll work our way through this volume of hogs. But the other thing consumers need to understand is usually the hogs that are harvested this time, a lot of them will go into the coolers to make up for the shortfall of pork in the summertime, because in the summertime typically hog numbers decline a little bit and consumer demand for pork goes up, and so it may make for a little bit higher prices for the consumer at the end of the day too, just because not all these pigs maybe are going to make it to the pipeline.
All right. And you both mentioned having diversified operations. What kind of a financial hit is this for hog farmers in the state? How quickly could operations go under just because they are unable to take the animals to market?
Well, we've seen what's happened in the dairy industry, Lori, and unfortunately, in agriculture right now, it's not like there's another segment of our operation that's very lucrative, and so there's not a lot of things to fall back on right now. So I think the next 60 days will really be a big test of producers, their will and their working capital and their relationships with their lenders, because it's going to be a very trying time.
Yeah. Are we seeing any federal assistance that's directly targeted toward the ag industry that would be, you know, part of the plan to keep operations open?
You know, I'm not sure if the ink is dry, but I understand, you know, cattle producers are going through the same thing right now. And I was told by a customer in Kansas that there was going to be, you know, some money made available for the beef producers that are going through this deal right now. But what's in there for pork, I don't know. I've got a conference call at one. We might hear a little bit more then, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would agree with Jim. Like the ink hasn't been dried on this deal yet, as far as assistance from the national on for us pig farmers. You know, I guess one thing I want to reiterate is, you know, this is devastating to us pig farmers, but also there's a food supply issue that will be rippled down to the consumers. You know, with this plant being shut down, that we're definitely pretty good chances we may see some meat counters that will be less than fully stocked, and maybe even worst case sitting empty, you know, especially if this plant shutdown is extended any amount of time.
Right. Going forward, there are, you know, wheat farmers, you know, people have bought seed, people have made decisions, and now they're trying to think, you know, down the road to the harvest and what it's going to look like. How do you make decisions for 5 months from now? How do you make decisions for 6-9 months from now at this point, especially when you have such this urgent crushing problem, not only of keeping yourself safe and the people that you work with safe, but dealing with the emergency and then trying to plan for some kind of future? Shane, how do you even attempt that?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, I guess if somebody's got a crystal ball out there, I would surely like to have them share some of that insight with me. Right now, I guess in our operation here, I just got out of a little family meeting with we're a family operation. It's me, myself, two brothers, and my uncle, my cousin, and my mom, and we're trying to figure out what our plan is for tomorrow and the rest of this week, you know, going forward, and trying to go taking one day at a time here and trying to do the right thing. And it's really tough. I mean, like you said, trying to make a plan going forward for the next 5-6 months, you know, it's not, and especially without not knowing where this whole coronavirus infection rate is going to be and how long is that going to drag out. You know, is it a matter of a month and two, or is it going to be dragged out even longer? I guess, you know, there's too many unknowns out there that a guy's going to have to make a plan and then make it pretty, make it in pencil, because its chances are you're going to have to erase it and try to readapt.
Yeah, Shane, how do you kind of hold a family together and friends and you know, other producers that you have contact with, just, you know, from an emotional or spiritual or, you know, a fortitude kind of conversation? How are you all coping?
Well, yeah, it was pretty tense conversation, I should say, this morning. I shouldn't say tense, maybe, but emotions definitely play, you know, and we're, like I said, we're a family operation. And so there's six people in our family operation here that rely on this operation for their income, for their daily income to live, you know. And so there's, you know, we've discussed some, you know, where we're going to go forward, you know, how we're going to continue to pay the bills and keep everybody fed and healthy and stuff. And you know, and our being a family operation, I mean, we're a business, and we operate as a business because we have to in order to, I mean, it's because for efficiencies And we're dealing with lots of dollars in our every day that go in and out of our hands, you know, paying bills and stuff and whatnot. And so we have to operate as a business. But, yeah, like I said, the emotions fall into this pretty heavily because, like I said, we're a family operation, and this is our livelihood. You know, we're out with these animals 7 days a week, sometimes 24 hours a day, you know, and to take care of them, make sure they're being fed and healthy and comfortable. And so, I mean, we take this really serious as a family farmers, and that, you know, it's tough. It's really tough. I mean, emotions definitely come into play.
Yeah. Jim, your thoughts on that, just holding it together in this time of just massive uncertainty and decisions that nobody wants to make?
Yeah, I just, you know, you were talking about long-term planning, and you know, to me, it's almost therapeutic to be able to look at the crop side of our business, and, you know, because the turmoil in the livestock side is so huge, and it changes so much every day, and the crop cycle is just an annual cycle, you know, and we have some problems there too, for sure. I mean, we've got grain in the bin that's worth a lot less than it was 60 days ago, and we're concerned about our, you know, our wet 2019 corn crop. Are we going to be able to keep it in condition to make feed for the balance of the year, and so on and so forth? But you know, things happen a lot more slowly in the crop side of the thing, so you have to make good decisions because you're only going to get to make them once a year. But you know, they come around slower, and it gives you a little more time to be a little more analytical. Whereas the, like I say, this livestock business is a pretty hot potato right now, and that's definitely giving me a little more stress and anxiety than the crop side. But you know, at the end of the day, when this thing's all over, I mean, people are still going to need to eat, and you know, we are still the safest, lowest cost food supplier in the world, and you know, I think there will be better days ahead for us, that for the producers that can make it through this deal. But you know, unfortunately, we're not all going to make it, that's for sure.
Shane Odegaard and Jim Pietrick, both South Dakota hog producers, feeling the crunch of the closure of the Smithfield plant right now. That is for an indefinite period of time. So sorry that all this is coming down on your shoulders, Shane and Jim, and we really appreciate you taking some time to share that with us on behalf of all producers who are struggling right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori, for letting us share our story.